I'd like for him to start revival among us and send a real move of God. I feel this way. If we ever have revival in America, it ain't coming through the Baptist church or the Nazarene church or the Presbyterian people. It's going to come through the children of God. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so I feel like if we're going to have a move of God, it's dependent on us. Don't you? You feel that way? Oh, don't try to mislead me. Do you really feel that way? Amen. I feel like that way with all my heart. I believe that's what the Bible teaches us. And I'm telling you, I'm not a naysayer, a prophet of gloom. But I want you to understand what the Bible said. The Bible said that in the last days that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said in the last days perilous times shall come. He gave us a big long list of things that would be happening in the last days on the negative side. But he didn't stop there. Remember Peter on the day of Pentecost under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So right in the midst of the lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, there is a group of people that God is pouring out His Spirit on, that God is sending revival to. Now, I want to be a part of that crowd, don't you? I want to be a part of that people. So, not only are we in perilous times, we're in powerful times. Now, I want to get hooked into that power. I believe God can help us right here tonight. I'd like to see somebody get help. I know some of you I've never met before. The way the services went, what God was dealing with me about earlier today, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah the 50th chapter. And I'll just go ahead and tell you that when God began to deal with me about this, this wasn't a message. I like to refer to them as messages better than sermons. But it wasn't a message, wasn't a sermon. God was dealing with me. Something I was going through in my life in the last year, I'll tell you, I've heard other folks say it, but I'll tell you about the Tigg family. Last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, has been the hardest years of our service in the kingdom of God. And found ourselves fighting on battlefields that we were unfamiliar with. Fighting, facing things that we thought we had victory over years ago. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has that happened to anybody else? Maybe I'm the only one that's been through that. I don't know. But stressful, pressure-filled time that you and I are living in. And I know that you know the devil is doing everything he can to wear out the saints. And he's turned the heat up on the church. But I'm glad to report to you, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We're going over. We ain't going under. Praise God. We're going to make it with Jesus. But God began to deal with me in this past year. Matter of fact, just in the last 6, 8, 10 months, sometime in this last year, 2009, God began to deal with me. He began to speak to me, my private devotion about something. I never had plans on bringing this to a pulpit. But I feel like preaching it to us or talking to us about it here tonight. Isaiah chapter 50, we'll begin reading with verse 7. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. Would you stand with me one more time if you're able? We stand with the singing. Let's stand up for the reading of the word. Is that all right with you? For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. I really want to call your attention to verse 10. We'll try to get around to all this. Verse 10 is really where God began to minister to my heart. He said, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Then he said something that almost seems to be contradictory to the first half of the verse. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Now, understand he's talking to the child of God. He's talking about God's child being in a dark place, a place of no light. Amen. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I can tell by looking at you, you feel the same way about this idea. It's contrary to everything I've preached, everything I've taught, everything I've heard preached and talked about. I mean, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we love him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Is that what the Bible said? But now here's Isaiah in the Old Testament talking to the people that fear God and obey the voice of his servant, but find themselves in darkness, in a place of no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Amen. I don't have a title for this. Again, this is just what God dealt with me about. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands one more time before we're seated. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for the way your Spirit's been moving. We feel you directing us to this altar already. Master, I pray that I can say something that'll be an encouragement to someone that's discouraged. Lord, something that'll be a help where the devil and the flesh and the world has tried to hinder in such a way. I pray, oh God, that here tonight you would camp round about us and help us to set together in heavenly places with Christ. Encourage the discouraged, I pray. Strengthen the weak. We'll bless you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name. Church said amen. You can be seated for a little while if you'd like. I've already pointed out what God dealt with me about. First of all, the first thing I noticed is who the prophet is addressing here. Those who fear the Lord, those who obey the voice of his servant. And I don't know what y'all's expecting, but I'm just going to take my time to talk to us here for a few minutes. I really feel like God has been pushing us in this direction this entire service. And then when that sister got up on the piano singing, testifying, I really felt the confirmation of the Lord here. So I'm just going to take my time, feel after this. Is that all right? He's talking to the children of God, those who fear the Lord, those who obey the voice of his servant. He's talking to the faithful. He speaks to the redeemed, those who fear him and take heed to the preaching of the man of God. Amen. Listen to what promises he promised in the few preceding verses. Promises like Isaiah 50:7. For the Lord God will help me. Praise God. I don't know about y'all, but I've had times, especially recently, when I've had to stop and remind myself of Isaiah 50:7. When the heat was on and the battle was raging, I've had to stop and throw up my hands and shout, for the Lord God will help me. I know my help's a-coming. I may not feel it right now. I may not be the one walking the backs of the pews. I might not be the one wallering in the floor and feeling the power of the Holy Ghost. But I know sooner or later the Lord God will help me. Come on, say amen. Isaiah 50:8, he said, he is near that justifieth me. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, Sister Teague and I have been through some struggles of late that we've never had the face before. Some of y'all that know me, I'll just go ahead and get this out of the way. Big white spot on the side of my head. Got another one on the back of my head. Handfuls of hair just started coming out about a year ago. Just big handfuls.
at the time. Not been to the doctor. Somebody said it's stress. Somebody said it's pressure. Somebody asked me if you're worried. Come on now. You know a holiness preacher ain't got none to feel any pressure over. Amen. Come on. Not had it diagnosed, but you'd be surprised the amount of holiness folks that's diagnosed it for me. Amen. One sister told me it was the devil trying to shame me. Another one told me it's the Lord trying to humble me. Come on now. I told my wife I'm stuck somewhere in between shame and humility. Still trying to pray through over it. Amen. Hey, it really got me down because night after night, mile after mile, we're running up and down the interstate. 300 services a year looking people in the face. 300 nights a year all across the country. I tell you, there came a time when I told my wife this, big bald places on my head. I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get me a ball cap and I'm going to go to the house and I'm going to get me a job and I'm going to cancel every meeting I've got. Hey, that's a foolish thing to say. Come on, say amen. I'd like to report to you, I've prayed through since then. Come on now. But I was feeling the stress of being under the gun. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Feeling the stress of the heat of the battle. Come on now. Somebody said you've been worried. You've been under too much stress, too big of a strain, too much pressure. I said, hey, I didn't feel worried till my hair got to falling out. Now I'm worried. Come on, say amen. Hey, but y'all know what I'm talking about. I felt like there's people going to be in this service tonight. Hey, that feel like you got your back up against the wall. Folks here tonight who feel the stress and the pressure of this society that we're living in. Come on now. Folks right here tonight that's walking in the place that Isaiah was talking about, that this needed to be reminded, for the Lord God will help me. And Isaiah 50 and 80 said, He is near that justified me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, child of God, He's not a million miles away. He knows exactly where you are and exactly what you've been going through. Hey, listen, it may be hot where you've been living. Hey, but the devil ain't the one in control of the thermostat. God knows what you can take. He knows what you can handle. And after a while, when He's tried you, you'll come forth as gold. Amen. Come forth as gold. The Lord God will help me. Let me talk to you about this. I'll just share with you what God dealt with me about during this struggle I've been in. Listen, it blessed me to know He was talking to the children of God, because I woke up and felt like I was in a place of darkness, a place of no light. Amen. What darkness can there be for the child of God? That's what I begin to ask myself. Can you really be saved and on your way to heaven and be in a place of no light? What darkness is Isaiah the prophet talking about? What's he speaking of? Hey, what here is meant by walking in darkness and having no light? Amen. It cannot be the darkness spoken of by John in his epistle. In John chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Listen, Isaiah and John was speaking about two different kinds of darkness. Isaiah's darkness, amen, is a darkness of not understanding. Isaiah's darkness is a darkness of not knowing why. Isaiah's darkness is a place of wondering and asking God when. Come on, say amen. Isaiah's darkness is a place when you don't know, amen, when you're going to feel Him again, when He's going to touch you again, how He's going to help you out of the situation you're in. That's the darkness Isaiah was talking about. Isaiah's darkness existed in the life of the child of God at the same time as the obedience and the fear of the Lord. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, the darkness in the text is just a darkness of the absence of God's divine manifestation in your life. Anybody here tonight wondered how much longer you're going to be able to withstand it? How much more pressure are you going to be able to take? How long will it be before my time comes? Is there anybody here tonight? Revival after revival has come and gone. Other folks have got their healing, but but you're still sick. Other folks got their blessing, but you're still waiting. Camp meeting after camp meeting come and gone. Other folks been blessed, and you're still wondering when mine is coming. How much longer am I going to have to wait? That's the darkness that Isaiah was talking about in the text. That's the darkness he was speaking of. Amen. You fear the Lord, no doubt about it. You obey His law. You keep His teachings and His commandments. But trouble still comes. I jotted this down when I was really going through it so I wouldn't forget it. Somebody singing in a church service I was going to preach one evening. And they sang a song. One of the verses of that song, you've heard it. One of the verses somebody penned, walking by faith and not by sight is sometimes hard to do. And immediately in my spirit, I disagreed with that. I said, oh no, walking by faith and not by sight is always hard to do. Always hard to do. Come on, say amen. And it only gets tougher when you're surrounded by darkness, in a place of sorrow, in a place of trial, in a place of temptation. I don't want to whine to you here, but in the last couple of years, lost my last grandmother. My youngest brother who was lost got burned up in a house fire and died. Terrible things. My father-in-law is at the point of death right tonight. Amen. They took half of his lung out, dying with lung cancer. And on and on and on. Divorce in the family. They're giving me reports that some of my cousins have gone homosexual. One thing after another, just bombarding the mind. One thing after another, just another burden on the heart. I'm glad to report to you one of these days we're going to be in a place where there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more burden. There'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more trial. Come on. But until then, you know what you and I got to do? We got to keep on walking because we know it's the right thing to do. We got to keep on praying because it's right to pray. We got to keep on worshiping God whether we feel Him or not, because it's always right to worship. Lift your hands right here and offer the Lord a praise, will you? Come on, give Him a good praise here tonight. Hallelujah. 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 God dealt with me about this. I was in a miserable place. And we've used this illustration until it's almost become threadbare among us in the wholeness movement. But I thought about Job and the circumstances that he went through. And I wouldn't pretend to make you believe that I was as low as Job was. But I remembered reading in Job 23 and 8. He said, behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. Did you hear where Job was in his calamity? He said, I'm searching for God, but I can't find Him. I'm feeling after God, but I cannot bump into Him. I'm looking forward. I'm looking behind. I'm looking to the left hand. I'm looking to the right hand, and I cannot find Him. And Job said, He hideth Himself from me. Come on now. I want to report to you folks. Job was at an all-time low at the moment he wrote that. God is not in the hide-and-go-seek business. He ain't hiding Himself from us. But sometimes it's necessary to go through the valley. Sometimes it's necessary to feel the weight and the pressure, the burden, and the stress and the struggle of the trial. Sometimes what God is doing is stretching us to a higher height. He's digging us down to a deeper depth. He's maturing us and teaching us how to trust Him when the heavens are brass and there ain't no showers of blessing falling. He's teaching us to walk on, to serve on, to worship on. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Lord here. I really do. He said, I'm looking for Him. I felt like I'd be preaching to folks like that here tonight. I really didn't feel like I'd come preach to a group of wicked people. I really felt God touch my heart. There's people right here tonight. You're facing things you've never faced before. You're feeling things you've never felt before. The pressure and the stress of trying to make it from here to glory is greater on you than it's ever been before. And now to top it all off, Job said, no matter which way I turn, I cannot find him. Don't tell you something. He's our strength. That's right. He's our song. Isaiah said he's our salvation. Come on, say amen. He's the one we need more than the air we breathe every day. Amen. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his lips more than my necessary food. He's the one we need more than the bread we eat every day. Come on, say amen. Hey, one man in Carolina wrote years ago, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. How many feels that way about this? We need him. But I want to tell you something. If you live for God any length of time at all, you're going to wake up one day in the very same condition Job found himself in. Amen. Day is going to turn into weeks. Sometimes weeks turn into months. And you're going to wonder, where is God? I just turned 42 in December. I got saved at 23. Started traveling full time at 26. We've been traveling since then. And I tell you, I said some things. And when I was first getting started preaching, I heard some of them old preachers say things. I just copied a lot of those things they said. Now, I don't want you to think, some of you old timers think I'm preaching a compromise victory. Because I believe we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Victory's already been won. Come on, say amen. We just got to appropriate it to our lives and stand on it. Whether we feel it or not, it's already here. Say amen. But I said things like this. I preached folks had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'd say things like this right here. I'd say, if you got the Holy Ghost, you ought to pray every day until you hear him witness. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you. Y'all call me what you want to. But after almost 20 years living for God, that's a whole lot easier to preach than it is to practice. Come on, the sound man's helping me back there. He's waving his hand. A lot easier to preach than it is to practice. Now, when you first get in, I say first few years even. Maybe even the first 10. I'll tell you something. Sister Teague and I are getting ready to turn 20 years old in God. So I guess I begin to figure out it might be growing pains we're experiencing. We're coming of age in the Lord, and we're not teenage, we're not adolescents anymore. We're not babies, we're not adolescent, we're not teenagers. You know, we're getting ready to turn 20 in Jesus. I'm beginning to figure out some things. The longer you go, the more and more he begins to trust you with. The harder and the hotter the battles get. Some of you looking at me like you're scared. Don't get scared. Just keep on living for God. Come on now. Just keep living for Jesus. I used to make fun of them guys. You know, Jimmy Swaggart. I'd slam him. I'd make fun of him. I'll tell you something. He had the gospel. He's preaching the gospel in 180 countries. If I think the devil's fighting me, I'm preaching in two. Come on now. If I think the devil's fighting, don't listen, I ain't making excuses for him. God will with the temptation also make a way of escape. He could have took the exit door if he wanted to, but he just refused to take it. Come on now. But I'll tell you something. It must have been hot just before he give up. Come on, say amen. I'm talking about a place of darkness, a place of no light. Amen. Even Job, the only man on the planet, if I've read this right, the only man that was ever alive that God pointed at and said, there's none like him in all the earth. He's perfect. He's upright. Listen, he wasn't talking about Jesus. We know he was the perfect man. Come on here, the God-man. He was talking about a human. come on here. A regular, ordinary man just like you and me. He pointed at the devil and pointed at Job and said, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. A perfect man and upright that fears God and eschews evil. There's nobody else like him. But now he's in such a calamity, such dilemma overwhelming his life. He says things like, I wish I'd have never been born. Why did they ever let me live? He despised the day of his birth. Now, in the heat of it, he said, I'm looking, but I can't find him. Anybody ever felt that way? Come on here. Anybody ever felt that way? But thank God Job didn't stop there. In verse 10, in verse 11, in verse 12, listen to what he said. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Did you hear what he said? He said, I might not know where God is, but he knows exactly where I am. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, praise God, it ain't the devil, the devil, the devil. Come on now. God's got you right where he wants you. And he's going to bring you forth as pure gold after a while. And he's going to use what you've been through as a testimony for somebody else to draw strength and get victory in the time of their sorrow, in the time of their struggle, in the heat of their battle. Just hold on. I said, just hold on. Amen. The sun's going to come up after a while. Oh, lift your hands and bless him, will you? Come on, somebody praise the Lord right here. Job was in a dark place. He couldn't comprehend the dealings of God with him. He couldn't understand why. One of them other fancy little catchy little things I used to say a lot. I heard some of the older preachers say, and we said it a lot more years ago and we say it now, you're never supposed to question God. Well, it's a lot easier to preach than it is to practice too. Because if you're as human as I am, and you've lived for God any length of time at all, there's been questions come up in your heart. Why me, Lord? Why this? Why now? Why my family? Why my business? Why my job? Why my husband? Why my wife? Why did it have to be my children? Come on, say amen. Oh, God. But listen, if you're here tonight and you've been asking why, I want you to understand you're just as normal as anybody else in this book had ever tried to live for God. David said when he seen the storm coming, he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Come on, say amen. He said, trouble's coming. I see it. It's on the horizon. And if I had wings, I'd fly out of here. Come on now. I'd go find me a safe place, a safe haven. Come on. I'm telling you, the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? The battle you're in right now, God knows where you are. He knows what you've been carrying. He knows the load that you're up under. He knows the way that you take. And it's going to be all right after a while. Come on. One songwriter said years ago, after a while, it'll all be over. After a while, the sun is going to shine. After a while, dark clouds will pass over. And God's going to fix it all right. After a while, listen, the King James version of that is this. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God hid himself in Job's calamity in thick darkness, and Job couldn't find out his way. He couldn't understand why God was doing what he was doing, yet in all of his struggle, his obedience and his confidence in God was steadfast, unmovable. He always abounded in the work of the Lord. The Bible said he maintained his integrity before God. He never charged God foolishly. He never sinned in all of his trouble. Come on now. Oh God, wouldn't it be good someday? I remember hearing the Brother Yeomans early on in the service tonight talking about, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He didn't stop there. He said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Come on, say amen. Wouldn't it be good to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hey, I sent trouble and stress and calamity and pressure, and you maintained your faithfulness through it all. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Come on and help me right here, church. I'm telling you, Job's obedience was constant, and it has to work that way for you and I if we'll have victory in the calamities of life. We got to be steadfast to God. I said that foolishly. I told my wife, I'm going to get me a ball cap. I'm going to cancel my meetings. I'm going to come to the house and hide under that ball cap. Just be a regular person. I'm tired of standing up night after night, folks wondering. Had a feller come to me one time, holiness preacher. Boy, if I called his name, some of y'all might even know him. Somewhere in these great United States of America. He said, man, that sure is distracting. Why are you trying to preach? You ought to dye that or something. Color that. And that's real distracting. What are you trying to preach? And this one, I felt like I was at my breaking point. As a matter of fact, it was the same week God began to deal with me about this message. I was at a church preaching, and the brother I was preaching for, he said, I know what that is. And by this, you know, this time I done heard it all. I said, tell me, what is it? He said, I went on the mission field years ago, and I seen that. He said, you've picked up something in Africa. He said, that's like a human form of the mange. Brother Joy Dean, I believe I done more praying that week than I done anywhere all year last year. Come on now. My flesh, oh, I ain't going to tell you what my flesh wanted to do. It's too carnal to even talk about. Come on, say amen. He wasn't my favorite person that week. And God broke that. After all that week of praying and preaching to his folks and trying to have revival, I think we might even went 2 weeks, week and a half, 2 weeks. Oh God, help me right here. God broke that thing for me. Man, I got to laughing. I was packing up our car, getting ready to leave. I got to laughing so hard. I was crying. I was holding my sides. I told my wife, I said, you know what the funniest thing about all this is? After all that he said about me having the mange, we've stayed in his evangelist quarters for 2 weeks. They're going to spend the next month fumigating this place, trying to get all them germs out of here. Isn't it amazing when you're the one in the battle, how quick and how easy it is for everybody else to offer you a solution? And even when folks come by that you know they have no idea where you are, what you're going through, I know right where you're at, brother. I know right where you're at. And we have our little catchy cliches like just keep looking up. Just keep looking up. I read one place in the book of Isaiah when God was dealing with me about this. Isaiah said, as a crane or a swallow, so do I chatter. He said, my eyes do fail with looking upward. I've looked up till I don't know if I can look up much longer. No answer's coming. I'm just stuck in this storm, stuck in this calamity. Come on, help me right here. I really felt like I come to talk to somebody about this right here tonight. Listen, Paul and Silas in Acts the 16th chapter, the Bible said, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. I thought about it. All they had done is what God called them to do. They was at Philippi, not to go to a football game or a car race. They was at Philippi to plant a New Testament church. And in doing that, they had cast the devil out of a young girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination. It's made her masters upset because she brought them much gain with her soothsaying. They laid hold on Paul and Silas and publicly humiliated them. They ripped all their clothes off of them and whipped them naked in front of everybody. They laid many stripes on them, is what the Bible said. And they took them to the Philippian prison and told the jailer, you better not lose these prisoners. If you lose them, it'll cost you your life. He took them to the maximum security. He took them to the inner prison where their feet was held fast in the stocks. Hey, I thought about it. Hey, man, if anybody was in a dark place, Paul and Silas was in a dark place, and we preached it. We've talked about it to you, brethren, and preached it better than I ever could. And at midnight, what the next verse said, they say it's always darkest before the dawn. I disagree. Listen, I've sat many mornings in that pine tree in North Carolina waiting on the sun to come up so I could get good view at my corn pile. Come on, say amen. Hey, it ain't always darkest before the dawn. I'll tell you what the darkest time of the night is. It's midnight, brother. Come on. Hey, it's already been dark a long time, and you got a long time yet to go before the sun comes up. That means there's no answer on the way. But by the Bible said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Hey, whatever you do, don't quit praying. Don't quit calling on God. If you don't feel a thing, keep talking to the Father about it. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Hallelujah. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Maybe they sang Psalm chapter 1. I shall not be moved. Come on now. I don't know what they sang, but whatever it was, there's praise in God in it. Come on now. If anybody had a right to get the mully grubs, it had to be Paul and Silas. Anybody had a right to pout, it had to be them two homeless preachers in that maximum security cell down at the Philippian prison. But they prayed through it, and they sang praises to God over it. You know what's going to happen in a little while when God brings you through this? You're going to look back over that dark valley you just came through, and you're going to be able to sing the high praises of God. See, sometimes you're just singing them now because you know it's right to sing them. You're just praising him now because you know that's what you're supposed to do. It's a right thing to do. Come on, don't stop doing it. Just keep on praising. But after a while, that praise is going to get real down inside of you. When you look back and the storm is over, the sun's shining again. Come on, say amen. You're going to look back and see where God brought you through. You're going to recognize, had it not been for the Lord, which was on my side. Come on, say amen. You're going to look back and say, thank God I know. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I'm just about finished. I'm going to quit right here. I probably told this. Some of you might have heard it. I don't know. I feel like telling it here. I was in Jamaica years ago preaching. And Jamaica's soccer team, they call it football. And most every other country except America, we call it soccer. But their soccer team had made it to the World Cup. And I don't know nothing about soccer. But I gathered that the World Cup in soccer is like a Super Bowl in football. And Jamaica's team had made it to the World Cup. And for those of us who ever traveled to any third world country, the center people there rally around them soccer teams, any kind of sports team. They really rally around their national team. A lot of them, they rally around things like that. And everywhere I went on the island of Jamaica, that particular trip, everywhere there was a television set, there was eyes glued to it, big crowds of people looking at the TV. Now, I know y'all won't fall out with me. Teague House ain't had TV in it in long years and years and years. So don't misunderstand. I was walking through the lobby of my hotel. I just wanted to see what all the big deal was about this World Cup and this soccer. They had a television over in the corner of that lobby and a bunch of Jamaican men glued to it watching it. So I just eased up behind him. I stood there. I might have stood there 5 minutes. I just stood there watching. When I walked away, I tell you what I really got. Here's what I got. That little black and white ball on the field is the one getting all the punishment. All the pressure is on that little black and white ball. Because they'd rear back and they'd kick that ball. It'd go from one side of the field all the way to the other. One end to the other. And I'm telling you, everybody that got a chance to take a whack at it was kicking it with all their might. All their strength. I walked away from that encounter. Here's what I was thinking. How in the world can that one little ball withstand all of that pressure? You can say what you want to. I'm just simple-minded feller. Holy Ghost got to speak simple things to me. And this is what he said. If I've ever heard him, this is what he said. He said, that ball can withstand all that pressure because there's more pressure on the inside of it pushing out than there can be exerted on the outside pushing in. And he reminded me, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I wanted to come by and tell somebody here tonight, you may feel like that little ball on that soccer field I seen that day years ago. You may feel like you're the one always getting kicked and punched and pushed around. But listen, you hold on to God because the devil can't kick you hard enough to kick you off the rock. If you hold on to Jesus, keep holding on to him. Amen. The devil can't put any more pressure on you than you're able to bear because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on. There's a greater power inside of you pushing out than the world can push in from the outside. Come on. I'm telling you, you're going to make it. Get a bulldog grip on God. And refuse to turn him loose. Amen. Just get a hold on God. Paul said in Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, folks. I thought about this in the last few weeks. God gave me this months ago. This was just for me. God gave it to me months and months ago, but in the last few weeks, here's what I've been thinking. God's bringing me out of this little deal I've been going through. Here's what I think. Here's what I think about all this. We have so many people in the American church talking about trials, trials, trials. Listen, for some of you, I'm fixing to mess this whole message up. Trials, trials, struggles, struggles. But as a whole, when we look at the worldwide church, the body of Christ, for the most part, American church folks have never even really been through a trial. Not a real trial. We feel pressure. We feel the stress of the enemy fighting us. But we have brothers and sisters in foreign countries who are dying every day because they worship Jesus. They're locking them in prison and torturing them. Because they love God. And they refuse to give up. Come on, say amen. I'll tell you something. If they can hold on to him through all they're going through, I can hold on to him if I lose my 401k or my bank account. Come on now. If I lose a piece of property, you ain't even going to smile at me, are you? If I lose my job or my benefits, come on, say amen. Some of y'all voted for Obama, didn't you? Thought he's going to fix everything, didn't you? Come on now. After a year, I hope you've changed your mind. Too late to change it now, though, ain't it? Come on now. By the look on your face, nobody here must have voted for Obama. Come on. I'm telling you, a lot of folks voted for him. He is going to pay their house payment, give them insurance, put money in their bank account. Come on. But listen, I'm looking for Jesus to take me through this struggle. Take me through this time of testing. I'm going to depend on him to take me through this storm.
Stand with me, would you, all over this place. I heard the story some time ago, and a lot of people fail to realize when we're in battles and struggles, storms, that we've got everything we need right here. A lot of times you can't get to the hot revival where the super-duper evangelist is. It's going to call you out and tap you on the head and sha-la-la and tell you how good you've been doing. A lot of times you go to church Sunday after Sunday with your secret struggle. The heat of the battle and your trial is on. The pastor never even addresses it from the pulpit. Sometimes you just left to fight it. That's the way God wants it at times. But I'll tell you something. If the pastor never keys in on it, if the evangelist never calls you out and prophesies, you still got everything you need right here. Everything you need to make it. Right here in this book. They told me a story probably a month or two ago about a man named Danny Simpson, Ottawa, Canada, back in 1990. The Canadians at that time was facing economic trouble like America is now. A lot of people lost their jobs, a lot of people out of work during that time, right in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And Danny Simpson lived in Ottawa, Canada. Times was hard. He lost his job. He's about to lose his house, his automobiles, everything crumbling, falling apart. And he got desperate. Bank account was empty. Baby's hungry. No money to pay the bills. He had an old pistol that his grandpa had left him in a will for an inheritance. He took that old pistol down to the local bank branch. He stuck it in the teller's face, gave her a sack, and she crammed $6,000 in Danny Simpson's sack. I think if I remember it right, he didn't make it six blocks from the bank before the police caught him. They found him guilty, and they gave him 15 years in prison in Canada for armed robbery at that bank. The police officer that confiscated the pistol, the one that actually checked it in to the evidence, noticed that it was old. He was a handgun buff. He got to doing some research on it, found out it was a Colt 45 made in 1918, one of the rarest handguns in the world. Only a few of them left that people know about. Come to find out, when he researched that particular gun Danny Simpson had tried to rob that bank with, is worth over $150,000 in 1990. Everything he needed, he had it right in his hand. Everything he needed. But because of his desperation, instead of doing the right thing, he took matters into his own hands. I want to preach to you tonight. Whatever you do, don't do it that way. Just do it God's way. The Bible said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. He went on to say to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So in the battle you're in tonight, God's got to answer for you. God's got to help for you. He's got the strength for you. I know you're standing. I'm going to quit right here. Three times in this book, one of the greatest preachers to ever preach the gospel, in his prayer closet, he cried, thorn, Lord! Thorn, Lord! Thorn, Lord! Three times, the answer echoed back from heaven. Grace, Paul! Grace, Paul! My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. I want you to know, I don't have a quick fix or a miracle cure. You may come to this altar tonight, the saints of God lay hands on you, and it disappear. It lift off of you, supernaturally, unexplainable, nothing but the hand of God can do it miraculously. But then again, you may come crying thorn, thorn, and the sweet hand of God just come down on you and give you the blessed assurance, no matter how hard it gets, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to give you the grace you need to make it through.
Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So ever how he wants to fix it, you ought to say, it's all right with me. It's all right with me. And ask you, if somebody would come around to the piano, musicians, please, come get ready to play something. Would the congregation bow your heads with me here? Maybe there's someone in the service tonight who'd like to be the first ones to come. Say, Brother Teague, I need a touch of God. If it's grace, I need grace. If it's a miracle, I need a miracle. Whatever God has for me, I need something tonight in this service. I've been struggling. I've been battling. I feel the pressure. I'm the one with my back up against the wall. I'm the one under the gun. I need the Lord to help me. I want you all to come first. Would you just begin to step out from where you're standing? Come get to a place to pray in this altar. The name of Jesus. God bless this young woman. Is there others here? God bless these who are coming. Hallelujah. I'm one of them. Brother Teague, I'm one of them that need a touch from God. I'm in a struggle. I'm in a battle. I'm in a time of testing. I need to hear grace. I need to feel His touch. I need His encouragement on me. I need to get into His presence tonight. I need a miracle. I need Him to work for me. Is that you? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? The name of Jesus. They're still coming. I'm going to ask these saints to come gather around. Those of you especially that are full of the Holy Ghost, find you somebody to pray with, will you? Come on, let's gather in here, everybody that will. Find us a praying place. See if we can have a move of God in this altar tonight. Let's talk to Jesus about this. See if the Lord will meet with us in these altars. Come on, let's talk to Him about this tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Come on, let's pray. Hallelujah.